Dit is SBS Dutch.
Do you remember saying goodbye, leaving the Netherlands?
Very much so, yes, because it's something my grandfather was a very stoic, strong sort of man, and I can remember him crying, and I didn't think I would ever see my grandfather cry, you know, and it was a sad, sad leaving. All the relatives were there, and it was pretty sad, yeah.
Yeah, on the ship as well, I can imagine. One part might be very excited, and the other half is like, what are we doing? We're leaving all these beautiful people.
True, but he's speaking to someone who is a teenager, so teenagers don't take it as heavily on board as adults maybe. So my brain switched straight to entertainment once I was on the ship.
Yeah. How old were you exactly?
12 and 10 months old, nearly 13.
And what do you remember when you arrived on the ship for the first time? What were your thoughts?
My thoughts were just curiosity at first. You know, what's the ship? How big is it? What can we do? And all this sort of stuff. And then looking forward to getting to Australia and ride a horse and play on the beach and go swimming and, you know, like all the fantasy you build up from the promotional material that was sent by Australia.
Were there many kids on board?
Yes, yes. At that time, I think anyone over 12 could mix with the adults, so I had free range on the ship. My two brothers, younger, they were all sort of ordered to the back of the ship and looked after by, I don't know, I never saw my brothers for the whole trip, actually. They went one way and I went the other way.
So never a dull moment? No, not bored at all?
Never. Never seasick, never bored. Always excited to get up in the morning and see what's coming the next day sort of thing, you know.
So what did you do during the day?
Well, I was fairly good at table tennis and I met another boy that was good at table tennis, but we played deck tennis and swimming and all this, a pool on board, of course. But we gave demonstrations playing table tennis. And then, of course, there were a lot of people our age that we sort of met up and roamed the ship and went down in the machine rooms. And then, you know, never a dull moment.
Up for any mischief or?
No. I don't think I was old enough to get up into bad mischief. You know, the girls started to be attractive, but we never mixed around about that age on board. And one thing I do actually, while I was thinking of it, us four teenagers watched two people climb in one of the life-saving boats, not of the same sex. Anyway, the boat started rocking and we soon worked out what was going on and we stayed there and they silently crept out half undressed and snuck off in the night. That's one of the, although it was only 8 o'clock or 7:30, it was dark. It was halfway through the trip, I think. That's always stuck in my mind because at that age you don't think about sex that much, but it's sort of now going back, I sort of realised what was going on. We pretty well realised what was going on but didn't know the fine detail. So sort of.
Yeah. And those people, did they see you? Were they embarrassed or?
I don't think they looked our way. They just snuck off, yeah.
Yeah. How were the sleeping arrangements? Did you sleep with your father and your brothers and mum and if you had any sisters?
Yeah, originally that was all broken up, but we came to an arrangement with other people of other cabins and we swapped and we sort of all slept together, yeah. There were, let me think, two double bunks and a single bunk, on one side above one another. And my mum and dad had a slightly bigger bunk. My two brothers slept together in one bunk and I slept in another one. My mum and dad on the opposite side.
Very cozy.
Very cozy, yeah. But we were never in the cabin.
No.
You know, first daybreak, we're out of there.
And how were the neighbours? Everyone was probably just sleeping there and that's it.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah.
So not a lot of troubles with other people on board.
No, I never saw any trouble. The only trouble I saw was in, I think it was Aden, where one of the sailors had misbehaved and the police were chasing him up the gangplank. No, it might have been port side. He'd done something wrong and they chased him all the way up the gangplank. And once he was on board, the captain intervened and sent the police off because it was classed as Dutch sovereignty, I think, and they had no say on the ship. I don't know what he'd done wrong, but boy, they were agitated.
What about the food and the drinks on board?
Oh, the food was just, to me, out of this world. You know, I tasted things I'd never tasted before, and lunch and dinner were two or three courses I'd never heard of. The last meal I had was just one hot meal, and that's it. But there you had a menu in front of you you could order from and ordered with either coffee or tea or chocolate milk and that sort of thing.
Do you remember if it was all Dutch food? Because I know the Dutchies love their potatoes, for example.
Yes, it was all Dutch food. And actually, one thing that stood out, towards the end of the trip, I had never tasted garlic, so I didn't know what garlic tasted like. But towards the end of the trip, even eggs had a funny taste. And I said to my mum and dad, I said, the eggs taste funny. You know, these were boiled eggs. And they said that to the waiter, and he said, oh, we're running short on food and we've moved the eggs to a special part, I don't know, and it must have got in touch with garlic. So apparently the garlic must have migrated through the shell of the egg, I don't know, but everything tasted like garlic for, I think it was the last two or three days before we came to Fremantle.
Yeah. Do you remember how your parents were on the ship? Were they as happy as you were?
Yes, I think so, because they, you know, they had dancing at night. There was bingo, library, and my dad liked playing clavijasa, so he soon made friends, and they used to play cards every second or third night. And, you know, it was a very good mix of people there.
It almost sounds like a fun cruise ship, like nowadays.
Yeah, I can honestly say it wasn't just me. My parents looked back on it, and not my mother. She was seasick half the trip. But my dad and my brothers, we all had a good time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to come all the way from the Netherlands to WA?
Virtually 4 weeks. We arrived, left on the 14th of August and arrived on the 11th of September.
Yeah. Was it all smooth sailing or?
Oh, very rough seas, but that made it more adventurous to a teenager. And my dad thought it was good too, but as I say, my poor mother just laid in bed most of the time. Every time it got rough, she was just violently seasick.
Oh.
But there were comical moments because of that too, because I remember sitting on the deck and a person was violently ill a deck above and then threw the bag overboard, but it blew back in a person's face that was laughing about him vomiting, you know. And I thought, just dessert. He was laughing at the person that was being sick all the time because it didn't affect him. And as the chap threw it overboard, it blew back into the face of the bloke underneath.
Boontje komt om zijn loontje.
I haven't heard it, but I do get the meaning. I do understand, yeah.
Mm. And were you aware of the big trip you were going to make and how this would change your life?
No, I never even thought of that. It did affect me later on. And, you know, for the first 2 years, it made it a little bit difficult because I left Holland and, of course, came to Australia and couldn't speak a word of English. So those things affected me later a little bit. And that was the difference between myself and my two brothers. They were just within 6 months, you know. I thought I was the brighter one of the family, but they were way ahead of me with English in the first 12 months we were here because they'd only been to school 12 months. So I think my younger brother hasn't even been to school when we came here. So they picked it up much quicker than I did, yeah. But no, they... On the ship, I never even thought forward that far.
Mm-hmm. And can you imagine doing this, what your parents did, taking the family to the other side of the world without being able to speak the language, etc.? Would you do the same?
No, I can't imagine myself doing it. But we're not in the same position. I think post-war, a lot of people were sort of set in a way where they just made had no savings and no chance of possibly saving a lot of money except at the end of their working life, and thought ahead and thought maybe we'll try something else. So they were maybe almost, you could say, cornered into it, you know. Not that I thought my father was, but my dad was a pretty adventurous sort of person. He would try anything. So it might be a little bit of a different story with him, because his brother was going to migrate at the same time, but he backed out at the last moment. He couldn't do it.
They were supposed to go to Perth, to WA.
No, we were meant to go to Bonegilla.
Oh.
And because there was no work at WA at the time. I don't know who came on board. I don't know what sort of officials they were, but they let it be known that they had a room for five families to be taken to Northern. And my dad just rushed in and put his name down straight away, because he always liked the idea of Perth better than the eastern states. He knew some people that lived in Perth, and he had a sort of feedback from them. But it was impossible to actually come to Perth at the time because there was no work in Perth.
Mm.
So we changed at the last minute when we came into Fremantle.
Yeah. Do you have some memories you'd like to share, things that happened?
Well, one story, I'm personally sitting at the dining table, and it was a rough day, and the waiter behind me tipped the whole pot of hot coffee over the back of me, all over my neck, and absolutely scolded me. And it was in the middle of the Red Sea, and it was a hot, very hot day. So they treated me I was treated by a medic. I don't know whether he's a doctor or a nurse. And they rubbed all the skin off the back of my neck and even down my shoulder, you know. So I had a pretty horrible time for about 2 or 3 days while it healed.
Wow.
But no, I can't offhand think of any other funny stories, except that I met a lot of nice people there. In fact, a chap that befriended my dad and tried hard in teaching me to swim on board went to Tasmania, and I met his son. He was a specialist cardiologist. So my wife had to go and see him. And it turned out that he was the son of the man we met on board, you know.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you know if your parents kept in touch with other families that were on the same ship as you?
Yes, they were friendly with them the rest of their lives, actually, 2 or 3 families, yeah.
Like, deel, geef je reactie. Volg SBS Dutch op Facebook.